I was sitting back there thinking, seriously, I was thinking, you know, I'm just, the only words that could come to my mind were just, wow, wow. And I thought, you know, spelled backwards, that's still wow. You know? It's like God has already done so much this morning. He has ministered, oh my goodness. And it's awesome. It's awesome to be a part of this church. It's just awesome to be up here this morning to share God's word with you. And I just believe that God's going to do a mighty work. Amen. Today. And so let's just go before the Father and see if I can get through this. If I can't, we'll just go wow and I'll go home, okay? Father God, oh Lord God, you are so wonderful. You are so amazing. Lord, I do desire to sit at your feet. I do desire to drink from that cup. Lord, you are amazing. And we just love you so much. We know, Father God, that you've already done a mighty work in this place this morning and that you are going to continue to work. Father God, I just pray and thank you so much, Lord, that you always go before us. You don't come up behind us, Father. You always go before us. And I know that you went before me this morning. I know that you've prepared the hearts and the minds of your precious children. And Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that I am anointed as a teacher. I know your word is anointed. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Oh, Lord, thank you for all that you do. And we just give it to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! Wow. I don't know when I've ever had it hit me like that. I've had the Spirit of God hit me before, but whew. I mean, stepping on this stage and it was like. So, we're going to attempt to get done with this today. The title for today's message is called Breaking Free. And it comes from an area of my own personal life that the Lord has been dealing with me on for a while. And I mean, for a while, I mean, a long while. You know, how many of you know it's a process? You know, it's a process to get things done. It's a process to walk out what God is doing in our lives. But today's teaching is all about breaking free from the things that are holding us back from fulfilling the destiny that God has designed for us. And by destiny, because sometimes I think we get that word all kind of woo. You know, but destiny is simply our God-given, our God-ordained purpose in this life. It's what God has ordained you to do. And God the Father, God the Creator, has planned and designed a destiny destiny and a purpose, because they're the same thing, that is specific to each and every one of you. Don't you feel special? I mean, your destiny is different than Kathy's. Sandra's destiny is going to be different than Chelsea's. Sarah's destiny is going to be different than Leroy's. God has a destiny that he has designed specifically to meet you. And I just think that's a very, very wonderful, very special feeling to know. You know, we don't get lumped up in a thing here and think that, well, we're all just alike and God just gives us what he gives us and all that kind of thing. We're special. We're special in God's eyes. We're individuals in God's eyes. But in order to fulfill that destiny, we have to be walking in freedom, right? We can't be all bound up. We can't be all fettered with weights and bondage. We've got to let those go. We've got to find a way of letting go of those things that are holding us down so that we can fulfill that destiny, so that we can fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives. So having said all that, I'm going to be reading from Acts, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 1 and going through 11. And I know that's a lot that's going to be up here on the overhead. But we're going to do it anyway. Okay. Verse 1 says, now, I tell you what I loved. I've heard people say, well, she doesn't read the Word of God. You know, this is the deal. I love to read my Word. I love the Bible. But the words are getting smaller with my age. So I don't know what's the matter with that thing. It's shrunk. But anyway, so what I do is I type it up. It's still scripture, folks. I type it up in a font that I can see. Okay? So verse 1. Now at that time, Herod Agrippa I, the king of the Jews, this is all going to be an amplified, by the way, arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to harm them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to have Peter arrested as well. This was during the days of unleavened bread, the Passover week. So when he had seized Peter, he put him in prison, turning him over to four squads of soldiers, four each to guard him. Now, in case y'all don't know this, that's called a quadron. It's 16 soldiers. And he put Peter in prison, and he turned him over to these 16 soldiers. And they were coming in four at a time in rotation throughout the night, planning after the Passover to bring him out before the people for execution. Verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but fervent and persistent prayer for him was being made to God by the church. And the very night before Herod was to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries were in front of the door guarding the prison. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared beside him, and a light shone into that cell. And the angel struck Peter's side and awakened him, saying, "Get up, quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Prepare yourself and strap on your sandals to get ready for whatever may happen." And he did so. Then the angel told him, "Put on your robe and follow me." And Peter went out following the angel. He did not realize that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they passed the first guard, and then the second, and they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, of its own accord it swung open for them. And they went out and went along one street, and at once the angel left him. And when Peter came to his senses, he said, Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting to do to me." Hallelujah. Now, y'all don't mind a little history lesson, right? Okay. I like history. I like Bible history. So, when verse 1 begins out by saying, now at that time. And the word time there is not referring to hours and minutes. You know, it's not like, whoa, it's 11 o'clock. You know, it's not that kind of time. It's talking about a time period in history. And the time period that it's referring to here is the early church. It's the period of the early church. It's a time when the churches were cropping up everywhere. It's a time when, in Acts, the fifth chapter, I believe it says that believers were being added to the church daily. And it tells us in the Word that the gospel of Jesus Christ was spreading like wildfire. It was a time of tremendous growth, but it was also a time of tremendous persecution. And how many of you have noticed that oftentimes it is the time of your spiritual growth, your greatest spiritual growth comes through times or is birthed through times of your greatest hardships. Amen. Anybody agree with that? Yes. Because if we do it right, oftentimes we don't, but if we do it right, those can be the times when we will learn how to more deeply rely on God, more deeply trust God, more sincerely walk with God. And I know we don't like the tough times. You know, is there anyone in here that just wakes up on Sunday morning and goes, "Lord, bring me the tough times"? You know, none of us like the tough times. We don't want them. We don't want the process. We avoid the process. You know, at all costs, we will avoid the process of having to go through what it takes through to get us where God wants us. But The fact is that there are spiritual truths in the process that we will never learn anywhere else except by going through the process. Now, a little more history. The word tells us that Herod was the king of the Jews. And he was becoming more and more threatened by the growth of the Christian movement. So in his thinking, in his head, he was thinking, well, I'll just chop off the head of that thing, you know, which was the leadership of the church, and then the body will just scatter and die. And his intent is the same intent that Satan has always had, and that is to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, which is the plan of God. The church is the plan of God. And to silence our voices forever. So, he went about doing his dastardly little deed. He first had James, the brother of John, arrested. And James was a brother of John, as I said. And he was also the pastor of the first church. That's hard to say. The first church of Jerusalem. So he had him arrested, and then he had him executed. And being the people pleaser that he was seeing that how James's death had really pleased the Jews. So he thought, I'm going to get Peter too. Because you see, Peter was one of the most prominent leaders of the church that day. And his thinking was, well, he surely scores some big old kudos with the Jews if he got him too. So he had Peter arrested and thrown in prison where he would await execution. And in studying this, I was wondering, you know, one day if Herod was a little bit uneasy, maybe about what he was doing, about the whole thing here that he was creating, because the scriptures tell us that when Peter was arrested, when Peter was thrown into prison, that Herod greatly upgraded the security. Now that tells me that maybe he was a little uneasy, maybe he was a little worried. You know, I think somewhere in the recesses of his twisted little mind, he knew that he was dealing with something that he had never dealt with before. And boy, was he right. Now, I don't know how many guards were usually assigned to prisoners, but Herod assigned a quadrant, as I said, which was 16 guards, and he assigned those to Peter. That's 16 cold, hardened, armed, trained killers. And they were rotating four at a time rotating shifts throughout the night. So Peter found himself between two chains and two guards at all times, with another two guards at the gates. I mean, we're talking massive security for one little guy, you know? But the power of God comes upon that place, I tell you. Those chains that we're talking about, the two chains, he was chained between two guards like this. And those chains are the chains of fear and doubt. And they were a constant reminder to him of where he was and how dire the situation was. And I bet every rattle of those chains was like a voice saying, you're not going to make it. They killed James. They're going to kill you too. And fear would pull on him from one side, and doubt would pull on him from the other side. You know, I think that we need to stop sometimes and just look at the people in the Word of God and realize, really, really think about it, that they're not fairy tale characters. They're men and women like you and I. They had good times and they had bad times. And even the most faithful had fear. They were great in faith sometimes. They were great in fear sometimes. But they were just like you and I. And I see Peter in that prison guarded by two soldiers, and I see him chained on this hand. I see him chained on that hand. And I know he experienced fear. I know he experienced doubt. Even the greatest man of faith will experience fear and doubt at some times if he's put under enough pressure. And I believe that Peter was there. He was chained with all those chains, and they're whispering to him. They're coming at him all times. You're going to die. You're going to die. You're not going to make it. James was killed. They're going to kill you too. Now, hands up if any of you have ever experienced the paralyzing effect of fear and doubt. I'll put two hands up. Okay. Did I see somebody without a hand up out there? Okay. Hands up. If anybody, all right, there we go. That's better. We know we've all experienced that, and it is a paralyzing effect. If you have something, fear come on you strong enough, it'll almost paralyze you from stepping out and doing what you're supposed to do. It'll paralyze you from doing about anything. You try to be strong. You try to walk in faith with God, but fear and doubt just will not leave you alone. Fear and doubt will just keep yanking your chain, just nagging at you. And fuel is fueled with thoughts like, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not eloquent enough. I'm slow of speech. Isn't that what Moses said to God when God was trying to get him to step out and trying to get him to fulfill his destiny or his God-ordained, his God-given purpose in this life? He said, God, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak plain. I'm slow of speech. I can't speak well. God, you better find somebody else. And I just love what God said to him. Because, you know, I've had God speak this to me this week. God says, who has made your mouth? Seriously. I mean, you know, getting up here, sometimes nerves get a little, you know, like this. And it's like God was speaking to me this morning saying, who has made your mouth? You know, he can control our mouth. He can control those things. He can put the words in my mouth. But Moses was ready to throw his destiny, his God-given purpose away because of the fear of failure. And because of the fear that Pharaoh was not going to take him seriously. And then God said, who's made your mouth anyway? I would be like, you did, God. you made my mouth, God. And then I'd try to get up and do what he told me to do. We need never, ever, ever be afraid to do what God has told us to do. Because, you know, we all know the old saying, he's never going to bring us to it. And then not see us through it. He'll always see us through it. He will never, ever, ever not equip you for what he has called you to do. So we know that fear and doubt's always tugging at us, isn't it? And they're always saying things, I'm not smart enough, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. Well, doubt is kind of the same, but it's a little bit different in the fact that it always asks a question. And it's always the same question over and over and over. And that question is, what if? Doesn't it? What if God doesn't give me the right words? What if God won't take care of my children? What if God won't heal me? What if God won't get me out of prison? What if, what if, what if? It's always the same question. But we need to turn that around and say, what if he does? Amen. Amen. What if God does take care of my kids? What if God does get me out of prison? What if God does give me the right words? What if God does heal my husband? Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Can I just stop and share what I share? I'm just going to stop and share. Y'all know, I think most of you know, my husband Bill. Way Bill. Okay, that's Bill. He was diagnosed with cancer, colon cancer, almost two years ago. And, you know, it was bad enough that it was colon cancer, but then the doctors come in and they say, we had one little doctor came in and he said, well, it's colon cancer. He was an Oriental gentleman. He came into the room the very, 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 very day that Bill was diagnosed. And he said, oh, because Bill, he'd had his test, and they immediately sent him through a battery of tests immediately that very day. It was just like a whirlwind of activity. And so we finally got to Dr. Wu, which we've learned to like, and not so much at the beginning. He's a little bold for our taste. And anyway, we were in the room, and he was telling us, he said, you know, it was in the colon. He goes, you know, this is treatable. You know, he'll have to have surgery probably. He'll probably go through chemo, maybe some radiation. But, you know, the outcome looked good. And we were like, okay. And then, oh, the man opens his mouth. And he goes, oh, but in liver, not good. not so good, not much hope, you know, very, very bad surgery. And we're sitting there, what? You know, it's like very bad surgery, very, very painful surgery. And then, so we went home and we're thinking, oh, well, phew, it's in his colon. And it was about a week later that some of the other tests come back and we found out indeed it was in his liver. And so we were like, we don't know what you're doing, God. We have no idea what you're doing. So he had to go through weeks of chemo, and then he had radiation. He's had three surgeries, and you know, and then four months ago, we saw the doctor, and he said, well, I can't see the spot where it was. And then Bill went back for his six-month test, his CT scan. We went back on Thursday, and we saw his oncologist, and Bill had to have his CT scan. He had to have the blood work and all that done. And then afterward, we saw Dr. Ramadas. And we were sitting in the office, and Dr. Ramadas comes in, and he pulls up the x-rays. He pulls up this. He pulls up that. Because he's really good about showing us everything and telling us everything. And he's sitting there, and he's pointing this out on there, and he goes, I can't see the spot where the spot was. You know? The spot is gone. The place where the spot was is gone. His liver has healed so perfectly. He had to have surgery, but his liver has healed so perfectly. So, you know, but we could have sat there and we could have got, what if? You know, what if he doesn't make it? What if the surgery doesn't go well? What if he doesn't get through surgery? You know, what if? What if he does? What if he did? He's sitting here today, cancer-free, home, back to work. Hallelujah. God's a good God. God is an amazing, amazing, amazing God. So anyway, having shared that, well, let's get back to Herod, okay? Herod's thinking is, I've got him chained on one side with fear. I've got him chained on the other side with doubt. He can't get up. He can't get away. And for extra precaution, Herod placed two soldiers, those two armed, trained, cold killers to guard him at every moment. Now, we're going to call them discouragement and intimidation. And their job was to do what discouragement and intimidation does. Discouragement and intimidation will beat you down, it will keep you down, and it will hold you in a dark and limited place and keep you from breaking free from the things that hold you. That's what discouragement does. That's what intimidation does. And how many of you know that it is the job of the enemy, that's his job, is to do the very same thing to us. His job is to keep us in bondage, and he wants to stop us from being who we really, really are in Christ. And he wants to silence our voices and make us ineffective as believers in this world. And even if Peter could break free from the fear and the doubt, and if he could overpower discouragement and intimidation, there were more guards at the gate blocking his way to freedom, and that meant more discouragement. That meant more intimidation that he would have to fight through before he even got to the main big door or gate that stood between him and his destiny. Him and him fulfilling his God-given purpose that God had called him to. That is, there's a reason, folks, why God calls us to fight the good fight of faith. We need, you know, I thought about Peter, and I thought he's in there, and you know it's like he's cold, he's hungry, he's tired, but in my heart of hearts, I know he's sitting there with everything going on. You know, he's got fear, he's got doubt, he's got discouragement, he's got intimidation, and I know in his spirit, in his man of man, in his heart of hearts, he is sitting there fighting the good fight of faith. You know, you can be really afraid, you can be really intimidated, you can be really discouraged, and you can still, in your heart, in your spirit, you can be fighting that faith or that fight of faith. You know, we need to hang on to those things. We need to hang on to that warrior spirit, don't we? We need to hold on to that mentality, that winner or that victory mentality, and not let that go. You know, There is a good reason we need to hang on to those things, because at the end of it all, we win. Amen. We win.
Right.
Hallelujah. Say we win. We win. Hallelujah. Praise God, we do. If you've got Jesus Christ in your heart today, if you've asked him to come in and he is your Lord and your Savior, you win.
Amen.
You win. Hallelujah. I think that's an amazing thing. Praise God. Oh, I could just so take this in 10 directions. And I believe that Peter had that. I believe that he knew he was a winner. Regardless of his situation, he's sitting there, and I know in his heart, he's going, I'm a winner, I'm a winner, I'm a winner. And you know, basically he was, because, you know, even if they'd executed him, he was still a winner. He got to go be with the Lord. He was a winner. And the Bible tells us that, you know, he was in there with just these guards and these chains, and there was no one to help him. He couldn't get out. People couldn't get in to break him free. So he basically was just there. But the Bible tells us that we are not limited to earthly help or to flesh. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Word of God, I love them all, but do we have favorites? Is Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember. We will remember the name. Whew. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Chariots speaks of man-made devices. Horses speak of flesh. And there are a lot of people who are putting their confidence and their faith in man's abilities, in man's ideals. But the Bible tells us that we who know God will put our faith and our trust in the name of the Lord our God. Folks, there's just something about that name. I mean, you can say any other name in the world, and it won't have the effect that saying Jesus. Jesus. I'll tell you, sitting in that hospital room with Bill for 2 weeks, and there were times when I felt so helpless because he was so sick. And I felt so alone. But I would sit there and I'd go, Jesus, Jesus. And he never once let me down. I would have strength come into my body. I would have peace come over me. He'll never let you down. If you're in trouble, remember the name. If you feel like you can't go on and everything's coming up against you, just stop and remember the name and what that name represents and what that name has done for us. Just remember and call on the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. See, there was no flesh that could help Peter. But Peter was unable to help himself. But then, you know, God, like I said, God will never let you down. If you can't help yourself, you know, he had a little group of people in a house somewhere called the church. And those people were praying. They were calling on God, and they were putting their faith, their confidence in God for Peter's deliverance. And I tell you, I thank God for the prayer warriors. Thank God for the people who will set their lives and their time, and you know our time's valuable, right? But there are people who will set their lives and their time aside to pray for others. Excuse me. Acts 12:5 tells us there was fervent and persistent prayer that was being made to God for him by the church. And James 5:16b says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, there's that word fervent again. Now, I did a teaching on this years ago, and I looked that up, and the word fervent means red hot. It means bringing to a boil. In other words, it's active. It's boiling. It's working. And the contemporary version says they never stopped praying. I tell you, I can see these great men and women of God in this church. I can see these great men weeping before God, petitioning God on behalf of Peter. I can see the little gray-headed grandma sitting there, you know, maybe knitting. I don't know. But they were praying, and they were petitioning God on Peter's behalf. God, deliver him. God, you're bigger than fear. You're bigger than doubt. You're bigger than discouragement. You're bigger than intimidation. God, deliver him. Let him fulfill his purpose. Let him fulfill his destiny. Praise God. They were praying. They were praying. And then suddenly, did you get that? They were praying. They were weeping before God. They were on their knees petitioning God. And then the next verse says, suddenly. Did y'all get that? Suddenly. Never underestimate the power of prayer, folks. Never. Because suddenly, in Peter's life, as they were praying, as they were weeping, as they were petitioning God, suddenly in Peter's life, things began to shift. Light came into that place. It was the light of hope. It was the light of victory. It was the light of Jesus Christ, or the light of the Word. And I want you to notice at that point, the light came in on the situation, but you know what? Nothing else had changed at that point. The light was there, but the chains were still there too. And the guards were still there. And that big old massive gate that held him from getting to freedom, that gate was still closed. But the light of victory, the light of hope, the light of the Word shined into that place. And the next thing we see is an angel. And he smacks Peter up on the side and he says, get up. Hallelujah. It was like Peter was going, like, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's, or hallelujah, hallelujah, it's like that. Okay, but deliverance time was here. Deliverance time had come. But I want you to notice again that deliverance came only as the light shone into that darkness. And it was a time, I tell you, there was a time when, you know, we all, but I'll use me, because I don't know all of your histories, but there was a time when I was just walking along doing my thing. You know, I was walking according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. I was blinded. I was even blinded to the darkness I was in. I didn't know I was in darkness. I was just doing my thing, you know. And I was fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind. I was just going along like everybody else who doesn't know God. And then, but God, who was rich in his mercy, because of his great love, wherein he loved me, wherein he loves you, shined the light on me and exposed the darkness in my life. And for the first time in my life, I could see. I could see the dark. I could see. It's like I could see where I'd been. I could see the darkness that I had walked in. I could see the wrong that I had been in. I could see. And for the first time in my life, at 30 years old, I was free. First time. Because the light came into my life. And it shone on me. And it exposed the darkness. And you know what? The really cool thing about the light exposing the darkness is when the light comes in, darkness can't stay. The darkness has to flee. When light comes in, darkness has to go. Hallelujah. See, the enemy would have us believe that the doors to freedom will never open for us. He wants us to believe that we're right where we are and that's where we're going to be for the rest of our lives. That we'll never get out of the situations that we're in. Some of us have been in some pretty rough situations in our life. And the enemy would just love to say, you know, just like he told, you know, the Peter, he's sitting there and it's like, you're going to die, you know. You're not going to get out of here. And he does the same with us. You know, he says to us, you're not going to make it out of here. You're going to be in that situation forever. That situation's going to kill you. But then the light comes in, and the light shines on the situation, and we see him for what he is and who he is. The Bible says that Satan is the liar, and he is the father of all liars. So when the light exposes the darkness, the light exposes lies. Amen. Amen. We do get out of here. We are not held by the bonds. We're not held by fear. We're not held by doubt. We're not held by all these other things. We're not held by intimidation. We're not held by discouragement, because the light of Jesus Christ has shined into our lives. And as I was studying this week, I just felt, and I was praying, I just felt like there's a spirit of discouragement that is trying to take someone, maybe more than someone, maybe it's a few, but there is a spirit of discouragement that's trying to take you over, because doors haven't opened for you, because the chains of fear and doubt have you bound, and you haven't been able to shake off the discouragement. But I want you to look back and remember what I just said. I said, suddenly, that means rapidly, swiftly, out of the blue, a light shone into Peter's situation. And suddenly it can shine into your situation as well. It's the same light. Hallelujah. You might just be sitting there. You know, oftentimes we just get in those little, you know, our pity parties. You know, we're sitting there and we'll just sit down. We'll just shake our little chains, rattle our little chain of doubt, rattle our little chain of fear. When suddenly, the light comes in. And an angel might appear before you with the answer to your problem. So, what was the answer to Peter's problem? It comes in two words. Get up! You know, that's what the angel said to him, wasn't it? That was the answer to Peter's problem. That was not the whole answer. But that was the beginning of the answer to Peter's problem. Get up! Stop laying there in your fear. Stop laying there in your doubt, in your discouragement, and your intimidation. Just get up, for crying out loud. And I thought, wow, could deliverance be that simple? Is it as simple as just getting up? Those two little words. And I know probably in some people's cases it's not that simple, but I'd be willing to, I'm not a betting person, but if I was, I'd say I'd be willing to bet that it's definitely the case in a lot of people's lives. If you just get up, and begin to move. And I want you to notice the sequence that Peter had to get up before the chains fell off. Chains didn't fall off while he was laying there. The angel said, he smacked him. He said, get up. And Peter got up and those chains instantly fell off. Praise the Lord. Is this speaking to anyone today? It certainly spoke to my heart. And then the angel said something else to him. He said, Peter, he said, put on your sandals. In other words, he's saying, I want you to put on your walking shoes because you're getting out of here today. You're going somewhere, Peter. So put them on. Put on those walking shoes. You're not going to camp here in your fear and your doubt and your discouragement and your intimidation. You're going to walk out of here today. Put those on. And then the angel told him, this is so important, folks. The angel told him, put on your robe and follow me. And that robe is representative of praise. The garment of praise. He said, I want you to put your walking shoes on. I want you to pull on the garment of praise. And I want you to follow me out of here. Oh, boy. So Peter got up. He put on his walking shoes. He put on his garment of praise. And he began to follow the angel of God as it led him out of that place. And I think it bears repeating today that the chains fell off as Peter began to move. Chains don't fall off as we stay where we are. I got something boiling in here. I'm stuttering because I'm trying to get it. But, praise God, we'll get it. It'll come. He began to move forward. The angel went before him. The angel of God was going before him. And Peter walked out after him. And I think it's interesting to note that, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about what happened to those guards. I mean, seriously. I mean, he's got, these aren't little tiny, you know, little tiny chains that he had on his wrist. They're big, heavy, noisy, rattly chains, and they fell off. And he went past, as he was following the angel of God out, he went through one gate guarded by one of these cold, hardened killers. He went through another gate guarded by these cold, hardened killers. And they didn't see him. They didn't hear him. he just simply walked right past them. And I just, you know, just, now the Bible doesn't tell us this, but I have a theory. I just think God put him in a deep sleep. I think he just went, whoop, and they just went, and that was the end of it. You know, they didn't see anything. They didn't hear anything. They were just there. But whatever happened to them, whatever happened to those guards, happened as Peter began to move. And what, you know, the doors began to open as Peter began to move. The chains fell off as he began to move. There was nothing left to hold him back. The chains of fear and doubt no longer held him. Discouragement and intimidation were powerless over him. And when Peter walked out of that place, when he walked out following that angel of God, he walked out. And he walked away from fear. He walked away from doubt. And he turned around and he goes, adios. Discouragement. Hasta la vista. Intimidation. They had no more power over him. And he said, you thought you had me. But you have no more power over me. And he went out being led by the angel of God. And you know what? There was like, you know, he's in this cell. And he was chained. And there was this gate guarded by a guard, a cold, hardened killer. And then if you got past that gate, there was another gate where there was a cold, hardened guard or killer guard standing there to keep him from escaping, to keep him there. Because you see, that was their job to do that. And the incentive for them to stay on their toes and to do what they were told was that they got to keep their heads, okay? Because if he escaped, and if you read on down through past where I read today, then you'll find out that that's exactly what happened, that they were executed for letting him go. But as they came, they went past, the Bible tells us that he went past the first gate. And then there was another gate, so he went past the other gate. And then past that gate was this huge, massive iron door. And he went up to it, being led by the angel of God, and it just swung open. How many of you know that it is not your job to open the doors? That's God's job. Our job is just what? Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep on those shoes of faith, those walking shoes. Put on that garment of praise and just plod right through. You know, keep that warrior spirit. Keep that mentality of being a winner and just walk through that gate. You know, he didn't have to push it open. It opened all by itself. God opened that for him. And the enemy would want you to know that the door to your destiny is closed forever, as I said before. But you know what? It's already open. It's already open. And God is just waiting for us to get up and take that first step. And I've given you a lot of word this morning. Oh, not too bad. Is my watch broke? Praise God. But I've given you a lot of word this morning. I've given you a lot of scripture. And the word is light, right? Amen. So the light of Jesus Christ has shone on you today. It's shone on you today. It's shone on me today. And it's exposing things within our life. I believe that as we're listening to the Word of God here, as we're listening to the teaching, I believe that God is already dealing with some of you, all of you, probably, about things that you need to get out of your life, or you need to get out of, I'll put it like that, in order for you to fulfill your destiny, in order for you to fulfill your God-given purpose in this life. But you're going to have to get up. You're going to have to start moving. And I just want to give you the opportunity today that if there's anyone in here that the Lord's been dealing with you on, that you need to get out of your life so you can fulfill your destiny, and it's holding you back, it's got you chained, and you're fearful, and you're full of doubt, and you know, well, will God really do it? Or is this just part of my life? I'm going to have to stay this way forever. No. That's not God's will for your life. But I want to give you the opportunity to come forward this morning. Church, get up. Get up. You know, get up. Praise God. And begin, bless your heart. She got up and she took that first step today. And God is shining the light on her. And praise God. We're just going to pray. If there's any of the others of you that would love to come forward and just have God just shine that light on you and expose those lies, expose that darkness, and let you see for the first time in your life that it was a lie, that you are free. Amen. Come forward. Don't leave this place with doubt and fear and discouragement and intimidation hanging on you. Amen. Because you're free.